Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. My show is broadcast live every Thursday at 11 a.m., and it's rebroadcast every Thursday evening at 9 p.m., and again at Saturdays at noon. If you're listening while we're live on Thursday morning, please call in at 805-564-1290 or toll free at 866-564-1290 or email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce followed by Sallon, SALLAN.com. Our next segment is Teen Rap with special guest Pastor Drew Sams, who is calling in all the way from Maui, to which I am greatly appreciative. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 5 years and is also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. He is passionate about working with adolescents and their parents while equipping them to not only navigate the teen years, but to thrive along the way. He is also currently seeking new ways to leverage social media to increase social justice and compassion locally and globally. Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and are celebrating their fourth anniversary right now, as I understand it. Welcome, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Aloha. So, are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt, I hope?
I actually am.
Good, because so am I. What's on yours? I have pineapples on mine.
I've got a sunset, a palm tree, and quite a large ocean.
Okay, a straw hat, too?
No straw hat today.
All right, all right. So, Pastor Drew, any initial opening comments about our subject, which I can't imagine is not a big one that you deal with regularly at the church?
Gosh, you know, I've been at Calvary for, it'll be 5 years in June, and working with teens for almost a decade now, and it's really interesting how teen anger and angst has, of course, always been there, but I've really seen a rise in cutting, of all things, with girls and boys, with the kind of the self-harm resulting out of that. So I've seen that grow quite a bit over the last decade.
Isn't that, it's one of those things that I just don't understand, but isn't the reason behind it that it's a way for them to feel?
Yeah, you know, there's kind of a lot of different theories, even if I talk to students who do cut, and for some of them, it's a way, like you said, where they can kind of feel something, but also to be able to control it. There can be a lot of emotions that they're feeling or areas in which they feel out of control. And when you can kind of start and end something, even if it's self-harm, if it's that pain, the fact that you can control it and stop it, for some of them, that at least that little bit of time, they feel like that they can control that.
It's funny how control is an issue in all our lives. I have a saying that the only thing I control is what I eat for breakfast. Especially now that I'm married again, I have two teenagers and I have three dogs. I feel there is so little I can control, other than, ironically, how I react to situations.
Sure.
So a teen with raging hormones has got to feel even more completely out of control than a middle-aged guy who's relatively got his life together, like myself, or a young dude like you.
Sure. And you know, I have a friend who he defines crisis as when you're in a situation and you reach into your bag of tools and you pull it out and you realize your hand's empty, you've got no resources to deal with it. And typically that's the point where you feel like you're out of control, and then things like anger and self-harm and drugs, a whole bunch of other things can be what you turn to then.
Well, I gave the example in my column, as you know, about a healthy outlet that my son was taking with music. I know other boys and girls have sports as an outlet. But what other things might you suggest that would help kids that are struggling with their anger, with their emotions, with their feeling out of place, or for that matter, just their emerging sexuality and what it does to them and that they don't know what to do with it? What can they do if, for instance, they're not sports-minded or, like my son, they're not interested in music?
Yeah, you know, it's been really fascinating working with teens and seeing how, as we've worked with them and kind of come alongside them and asked them what are some areas that they could possibly be passionate in, we've seen some kids get really excited about art. Some of them have really gotten into even kind of social justice causes where they focus all of their energy towards for example, helping orphans, you know, in Uganda or in South America. We've had people even start to volunteer their time. We're on the weekend. They're going down, even down to Skid Row down in Los Angeles. So I think really when you can come alongside a teenager and at least give them, you know, a shoulder to cry on and ear to listen and begin to help them process what they're feeling. Because I think really deep down there's some deeper emotions going on that anger is really the symptom of. And if you can get to those things, typically, like we said, it's feeling a perceived lack of control, then you can start to deal with those things as they come up.
I actually think the idea of service is incredibly helpful. I know for me, I presently mentor a young man with a fatal genetic disease, and I started doing that when I was at a relatively low point in my life before I was writing and I was not finding my purpose. And it was a classic case of getting more than I gave. By seeing him, it was a reflection on the blessings in my life. The joy on his face every time I showed up made me feel good. So it was a complete win-win. And I think if teens can do that, that will also help with our so many spoiled kids who are unhappy that they didn't get the iPad the day it came out.
Sure, sure. You know, and you talk about those outlets, you know, to be able to do well playing a guitar or to do well on a sport is one thing, but then to actually do well in which you affect somebody else's life, that has enormous healing potential in somebody's life, and it gives somebody so much perspective.
I imagine for you personally, is that one of the reasons you went into your profession?
Sure. You know, it'd be impossible to say that. I don't think anybody is entirely altruistic. There's such a huge benefit I get when I see teens and parents and entire families come out of really tough situations. But I always tell people I've got the best front row seats in the universe, better than even the Lakers Suns playoffs. You know, here I am, front row seats to life changes.
Hey, I saw Tom Cruise there last night. I thought I was jealous, along next to Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
So listen, I have an email for you, addressed directly to you. It says, Pastor Sams, we are a church-going family, but our boys, who are now teens, just don't want to come anymore. If we force them, they sit there with sour expressions on their faces and make us pay with their sullen behavior. What can we do to keep God in their lives?
Sure. You know, this is one of the most common questions I get. And typically what I'll say to the parents is, instead of trying to get the teens to church, let's bring the church to the teens. And I really encourage them to, whatever church that they're involved in, to call up the youth leader, the youth pastor, and just start that dialogue. And so often if it's a situation within our church at Calvary Community Church, we'll often, you know, go hang out with the kids. Maybe it's on the basketball court or over lunch at In-N-Out or whatever it may be. So just trying to bring the church to them, because sometimes trying to get them up and drag them out of their routine can be a battle that's not worth fighting if you can bring the church to them.
I know my boys have pretty much rejected going to temple with me after becoming a bar mitzvah. And I think I need to allow them a little bit of that space because they work so hard to kind of achieve that goal. But we maintain a ritual in the house, which is we do Shabbat every Friday. And I allow the boys to make plans afterwards, but we at least have that weekly ritual of saying some blessings. We have a tradition of sharing the best and worst that happened to us each week, which allows some reflection. We are down to 30 seconds left, Pastor, so I would love for you to tell our listeners how they can reach you. And it goes by so fast, I think I need you for a whole hour.
I know. Well, great. Yeah, you know, you can go to our Calvary website, calvarycc.org, for all of my contact info. But you can go directly to my personal blog, which is drewsams.com, or my personal email, which is drews@calvarycc.org.
Well, Pastor Drew, thank you. I have one bit of very important advice for you. It's two words. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sunblock.
Yes. I should have heeded that advice about 5 days ago.
Okay. It's time for another break. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Be sure to call in at 866-564-1290 or locally at 805-564-1290. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View, on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.